Johnny?
Yeah, sure. Yes.
My name is Dara Irani.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, what do you want, brother?
Why don't you, for those who haven't met you,
why don't you tell them a few jokes or, you know, tell them how to play
cricket?
Start
off with a joke.
Start off with a joke. Yeah, the joke is that I'm sitting here and having to do this. Well,
I'm sure there's something. Adi always used to say, J-Balo. We start out with a J-Balo.
Oh, definitely.
And then he would tell what he meant about J-Balo. And I always thought that was amazing.
I'm sure there's some people who haven't met you here who don't know what your story is.
And for those who already know, do we have some you know, headphones and they can listen to some Michael Jackson or something like that? In fact, I could do with that, you know. I don't want to hear my story again. Well, Jay Baba, everyone, and thank you for having me here. Despite what Charlie said, you know, I was glad to have the opportunity to be here. But this, I must say, was a bit of a surprise when he sprung on me tonight. However, if you'll bear with me, I will try and get across to you the times that the opportunities I had of being with Baba. Now, I had the very good fortune to have been born into Baba's family. My father is Adi S. Irani, one of Baba's brothers, who at the moment is living in England. And I was also very fortunate that at the time of my birth, within about half an hour, Baba was actually there by my bedside, by the crib. And that wasn't so much because of my birth, as that my mother, who was giving birth to me, died. So when Baba was informed, at the time Baba was at Mehrabad, and when he was informed that my mother was dying, he actually came to Velu's. That's where I was born. And he was by my mother's bedside when she died, which of course was an incredible blessing for my mother to have Baba there. And of course at the same time, you know, he came to where I was, and picked me up and promptly put me down and then left. So let's say I was born into the family, but it didn't mean that I automatically accepted Baba as God. In fact, through my childhood, I used to find it quite amusing to think that I had an uncle who was God, but I just couldn't understand how that could be. And had for a long time no real idea of Baba's true being. I would just consider him to be an uncle. And at the same time, I was brought up, since my mother died, Vilu and Sarosh brought me up. They brought me up like their own son, and I grew up with them. And although Sarosh from the age of 16 was with Baba and accepted Baba to be the God-man, Vilu didn't, and she struggled with that for many years. And with that, she, since we were under her care, she was the one who took care of the children. And when I say we, I mean her children also. And she would almost sort of shield us from Baba. She would, you know, feel that we might get influenced, and kept us ignorant of anything to do with Baba. And I often thought how nice it would have been that, say, on the auspicious occasions like one's birthday or some family celebration, instead of parading us off to the fire temple where we just, you know, did all these prayers which we understood nothing of, she would have taken us to have Baba's darshan. It would have been so much more meaningful. But whatever it was, you know, it didn't happen. And yet, simply because Baba was my uncle, she would see it as her duty that from time to time I did go and visit Baba. And of course, the time I'm talking about, Baba was readily available to his lovers, and especially ones his close ones. And so the opportunity was there, and she would say from time to time take us out to visit with Baba at Mehrazad or Mehrabad. And of course we were always as children, we were always brought up and taught to respect elders, be on our best behaviors, and you know, dressed in our best clothes and paraded off to visit our relatives. And the same, of course, was when we went to see Baba. But as soon as one got into Baba's presence, even as a child, I could grasp that this was something different. It wasn't really to be in Baba's presence as a child. It wasn't at all uncomfortable, because Baba immediately would come down to your level, and you felt completely at ease in front of him. And well, he would embrace you and caress you, and then he'd pick us up, put me on his lap, and then start playing games with us. And his favorite game was where he would hide the fingers of one hand, cup it in the other hand, and we were to find the middle finger. And whenever we did it amongst ourselves, it was really a simple matter to find the middle finger. But with Baba, we never could. It was you know, as much as we tried. And of course, you know, as soon as we thought we got it, and we'd catch the finger and we'd look up in Baba's face, and Baba was sort of beaming, you see, and then he would release his hands and we'd realize we'd got the wrong finger. And he would chuckle. And well, it really was, to say, even as a child, it really was wonderful being in Baba's presence. Even though at the time, let's say, I consider him to be nothing more than just my uncle. But one thing was quite apparent, and that was Baba's love. As soon as one walked into the room, seemed like you were totally immersed in his love. And it was so apparent that I say even as a child, I remember feeling that, you know, there's something quite different about this uncle of mine. But didn't have the understanding to see or to realize what it was. Of course, at the same time, I would, especially with my school friends, I would tell them that I had an uncle called Meher Baba. He was well known in the town, and I would tell them that, you know, he's my uncle, and you know, he's a big celebrity. He's famous. Lots of people come to see him, and just brag about this in a childish manner, and of course feel quite proud that I'm related to this celebrity. But nothing more than that. One of my earlier childhood memories of Baba was again at school with my school friends. It was during the lunch break, and I was outside. It was hot. It was sunny. It was during the summer days, and I was outside playing marbles, and as I was waiting for my turn, I noticed Baba's car going by on the road, which was just outside the school compound, and I stood up and watched the car as it slowed down, and then it came to a halt, and the door opened, and I recognized one of the Manli beckoning me to the car. So I ran out, I got under the barbed wire and ran to the car, and Baba, who was seated in the front next to the door, he opened the door, and he lifted me up and he put me on his lap. And the first thing he did was put his hand on my head, and he felt that it was hot being under the sun, and, you know, he waved a finger at me, telling me that that's no good, I shouldn't be out in the sun. And I said, sorry, Baba, but I was playing marbles. And then Baba, with a gleam in his eyes, says, "Were you winning?" So luckily I was. So I said, "Yes, Baba." He said, "Good, go back and continue the game." So I did that. So let's continue the game, Charlie.
Yeah, another joke.
Oh, another joke.
How old were you when you first moved off to England?
Yeah, I was 13 when I moved to England.
Did Baba tell you to go to England?
No, Baba didn't tell me to go, but what happened was that my father and stepmother had already moved to England about 3 or 4 years before I went. And, some madness got into me, and I felt that I also should be there in England with my father. But that was just an excuse, really. I guess at the time I was enamored by England, the West, and thought this is a great opportunity to, you know, go there. So I started to pester Velu and said, "Well, I'm very unhappy here. I want to be with my father." And so much so that one day she got really fed up, and she goes to Baba and says, "Look, this Dara, you know, he keeps saying that he's unhappy here and he wants to go to England." So Baba said, "Well, if he's unhappy here, send him." So it was arranged. My stepmother, Franny, and I have a half-sister called Shireen. She had just been born. So she came over with Shireen, and I returned to England with her for the first time, which was in 1958. But very shortly afterwards, I was ready to come back to India. But then Baba said, "No. Now you just stick it out there. You wanted to go, now you suffer out there." So I ended up staying there 15 years. Well, you didn't say that, but I'm sure, you know, that's what I really had to learn.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went when I was 13, and I, say, lived in England till I returned to India in 1973. Whilst I was in England, well, the first opportunity for me to visit back to India was, came in December of 1964, and we all came. So my father, stepmother, Shireen, we all came to Nagar, and was lucky enough to be there for 3 months, during which time I was again fortunate to spend quite a lot of time with Baba and Mehrazad. And it was then that one day, what seemingly seemed, you know, just out of the blue, but Baba, Mani Aunty was interpreting Baba's gestures to me. So Baba turns around to me and tells Mani Aunty to tell me that Baba says, "Don't worry, I have the perfect wife for you with me, and I will I was see to everything. And I was, and I thought to myself, what on earth is this? I mean, that's the last thing on my mind at the time.
And this was when, Darrell?
In 1964, December.
You were how old then?
How old? 18, 19. 19. And fortunately, though, I never questioned it, and all I said, yes, Baba, whatever you say. And Baba seemed quite pleased that I just accepted it. And of course, a real blessing for me, as it turned out. But anyway, so the seal was set, but nothing happened until 3 years later. Of course, I was there and still with Baba for quite a time visiting, and on one occasion when I was with Baba in the hall, Baba turns around and asks me, how far is it to where you go to work? So I said, Baba, well, it's about 4 miles. And Baba said, well, how do you get to work? So I said, Baba, well, I have to walk a distance, then get a bus, and then again walk. So Baba said, you do that in the winter also? I said, yes, Baba. So he says, isn't it very cold then? And as he said that, you know, Baba sort of made as if he was shivering. And I said, yes, it's cold, but I get used to it, Baba. So he said, oh. He says, you know, I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could get used to that cold weather. So I said, well, you know, we have warm overcoats, and it's not so bad, Baba. Also fortunate that I had enough sight to actually see Baba's beauty, because he was incredibly beautiful. I mean, most of the time that I was in the hall in Baba's presence, I really wasn't too aware of what was going on, because all I do was sit in front of Baba and look at him and just be overwhelmed with his beauty. And of course, Baba would, from time to time, you know, turn around and smile at me. And, on one occasion, that was the only time Baba really referred at all to my eye condition. First of all, there used to be a bed in Manli Hall where those bookcases are now, towards the end where the big garage gates are, there are bookcases now there with albums and Baba books. Well, there used to be a bed there. There were no bookcases or anything of that sort at that time. And from time to time when Baba would be in the hall after sitting a while in the chair, he would get up and he would exercise a little. He'd be made to walk up and down the hall. And then he would go and lie on the bed whilst one of the Manli, Bhav, or Erich would be massaging Baba's body. And on one occasion, when Baba did that, he asked me to sit right in front of him, which I did. And then he gestured to say that, "Can you see me better now?" And of course, I could, because there was much more light at that end of the room in Manli Hall than there is where Baba's chair is. That corner is quite dark. So I say I had the good fortune also that he enabled me to see him clearly. Well, let's say, during this visit of mine, of course, Baba had taken upon himself to find a wife for me. And, it was said and everything. That was the end of the matter then. And I returned to England, continued work. And, from time to time I would think about it. But not let it really play on my mind too long. And nothing happened till 3 years later. That was the time my father was to visit Mehrazad. Baba had called him for a visit. And this was again in December, but it was in 67. And before my father was to leave for India, I had received a letter from Baba asking me whether I was ready to get married. And I just thought to myself, well, it's got to be done. Might as well get it over with as soon as possible. So I said, "Yes, Baba." You know what? Ready. So when my father visited Mehrazad, he was there for about 6 weeks. Well, during that time, all the marriage arrangements had been fixed. And of course, that's the first time that I got to hear of Amrit's name. Up till that time, I didn't know of her, and I'm sure she hadn't heard of me either. And although neither of us were there at the time, it seems like when Baba received my answer, he then set about trying to find the right girl for me to marry. So he, he asked the women, Mandi, he asked Mira and Mani and Gower, and if they knew of any Baba lover family who had a daughter who might be suitable for me and who's, eligible for marriage. So they suggested a few Baba families whose daughters would be the right age. And for one reason or the other, Baba rejected them all. Till Mera remembered that when they were in the new life, they had stayed in the village that Amrit's parents live. And they remembered that family, Shatrughan Kumar, and remembered they had a daughter called Amrit, who in fact Mera and Mani had named. They had named her Amrit. And they sort of calculated and said, well, she would be about, the right age. So Mera said, Baba, what about, Shatrughan Kumar's daughter, Amrit? So Baba said, yes, but find out if she's still available. So, of course, they, through very discreet ways, found out that Amrit was going to college. She wasn't married. So then Baba sends off a telegram to Amrit personally, saying that it is his wish that she marries Baba's nephew Dara, but not to take it as an order from Baba. Well, Amrit, of course, said she didn't hesitate for a minute and sent back a reply saying, Baba, we're very happy to fulfill your wish. Of course, now she tells me different, but that's another story. Anyway, she sends back the reply, and Baba then sets about arranging for the marriage itself. And after some discussion with my father as to what day they should hold the marriage, Baba said, well, it'll take place on 23rd December 1968. And the day before that, on the 22nd of December, which would also be Mera's birthday, we'd have our engagement ceremony. And I was, together with the rest of the family, to come from England a couple of days before the marriage was to take place. And then, of course, in the meantime, they send me a photograph of Amrit. And Baba sends me the message that he's chosen Amrit to be my wife. And I was to write a letter to her, but I should send it true Baba. Of course, I was quite perplexed as to know what to write. I mean, you know, do you write a love letter to, you know, a woman whose first, whose name you just heard for the first time in your life, and as it is, you know, it was going to be censored before it ever got to her by Baba. So I just had the good fortune to think of just writing that, well, we are so blessed that Baba has taken it upon himself to arrange for this marriage. And a few other lines to that effect, and, you know, did my duty as far as writing to Amrit. And then, I say, just waited another 9-10 months till the time came when I came to India for the marriage in December. Well, a lot of people who've seen the movie of the marriage have stated that, you know, I look frightened. I said, well, I was not only frightened, I was petrified. I arrived in Marasad. I was staying with Vilu. Amrit was already staying at Marasad. She had already arrived there a few days earlier with her parents, and she was staying at Marasad. Well, the day of the engagement, which was also Mara's birthday, which was the 22nd of December, I came to Marasad at the time that Baba told me to be there, and promptly paraded through the gardens at the back there where of Marasad, and which of course was full of Baba lovers. There must have been anything from 400 to 500 Baba lovers that were invited by Baba from Bombay and Pune and other parts of India to be there on this occasion. And they were all strangers to me. And I was led up to the veranda where Mara sits. There were just two chairs placed there, and I was told to sit in one of them. And whilst I was sitting in one of them, probably that's why I got such a fear of crowds. I would look up and see this, what seemed to be a mass of humanity, and I felt that they were all looking at me, you know, and I was a spectacle there, and I really didn't know what I was doing there. I felt that I shouldn't be there. And I was quite nervous and I didn't know which way to look. Well, shortly afterwards, a group of the women mainly brought Amrit onto the veranda from her, let her out from her room and brought her up. And as she came up, I don't know what I was supposed to do, stand up and shake hands with her or what. But I decided the best thing is to just sit quietly in my chair, and of course Amrit then joined me, also equally frightened. And well, luckily, not long after that, Baba was brought out from his bedroom, and then of course we just knew that no one would be looking at us. That everyone's gaze just turned on Baba, and so did ours. And we just, Baba just took over. As I said, it was also Mara's birthday, so there was a cake, Mara birthday cake, sang happy birthday to Mara. There was a little entertainment program, and then we had our engagement, and that was very simple. We went up to Baba. We had rings with us, which we gave to Baba, and he put them on our fingers. And we garlanded each other. Baba requested us to garland each other, and then we garlanded Baba, and of course we hugged and kissed him, and returned to our seats. And after Baba giving a short message and discourse, one aspect of that which I clearly remember was Baba telling everyone there that avail this opportunity I've given you. See me, because you won't see me like this again. And he repeated this several times. Of course, no one even then ever thought that would be just over a month after that Baba would drop his physical form. And then Baba, another aspect was time. Baba kept speeding up everything. Say, there's very little time left. Hurry up. Everything had to be speeded up. And of course, Baba, whilst all this was going on and he was making himself available, physically was very poor. He was very weak. And going through great suffering. So he gestured that, you know, he should go back, he should be taken back to his room. And there was then a little risk.